This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The big sports news in Buffalo comes from the Buffalo Sabres. They've hired Ralph Krueger as their new head coach, trying to end an eight-year playoff drought. The team made the announcement today. Ralph Krueger is 59 years old. Coached the Edmonton Oilers back in the lockout season 2012 through 2013. Fired by the team after the Oilers finished with 19 wins, 22 losses, and 7 ties that year. He does have vast coaching experience. He was the national head coach of Switzerland's team in 3 Olympic Games. Krueger returns to the NHL. He spent the last 5 years as chairman of soccer's Southampton Football Club of the English Premier League. Born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, played hockey professionally in Germany for a while. Ralph Krueger, the brand new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, announced today. Stanley Cup playoff action tonight. San Jose, St. Louis will play game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. That series tied at 1 win apiece. They'll face off at 8 o'clock tonight in St. Louis. Now football news. The Jets, in a surprise move, fired general manager Mike Maccagnan. Coach Adam Gase will be the interim general manager while they begin an immediate search for a replacement. The Jets also fired their vice president of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger. The shakeup comes after several reports of internal friction between the two, Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan. Both men denied that a rift had developed in their relationship, but Christopher Johnson, the Jets' CEO, reportedly was so concerned about the relationship between the two that he began spending more time at the Jets' facility to monitor their situation. Patriots have re-signed kicker Steven Gostkowski. Gostkowski, a fourth-round pick in 2006, immediately replaced the potential Hall of Famer Adam Vinatieri back in 2006. Gostkowski signs a contract extension with New England. Quarterback Colt McCoy back with the Washington Redskins for their OTAs. He recovers from his fractured fibula, and it's going well so far. The Bisons host Gwinnett tonight. The Stripers, 6:05 first pitch downtown at Salem Field. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, begin hour number 3 and begin it with our buddy Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Chris is here for one reason and one reason only. He wore that shirt today at the morning meeting here at One Bills Drive, and we said, yes, you're a guest.
That was a
Bill Stafford also appearing on the show.
It was a cardinal mistake.
Do you regret that wardrobe choice this morning, Chris? It's a nice shirt. It looks great on you.
I do like the shirt.
Why waste it in the folks in here? You know, wear the shirt. You can be on the show.
How about that?
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Did you check out? Did you check out the dodgeball?
I did check out dodgeball.
That is not
dodgeball.
The
movie doesn't have much on dodgeball at One Bills Drive. I'll say that right now.
Amazing.
The only thing they've got on dodgeball here at One Bills Drive are the outfits.
Yeah. That's true. They are dressed kind of just in vests and stuff. I was laughing because I was walking through and guys are getting put out, and they are hot about getting put out.
Arguing.
The but it's screaming. Oh, my. And it's loud. I mean,
but it's smart, though, isn't it? I mean, on the part of the strength and conditioning staff. And they had a scavenger hunt going on today, too, or something. We had guys running through the halls today.
Players
looking,
are in there?
Yeah, looking for stuff upstairs and down. I think it was an exercise to help all of the rookies. It was almost all rookies.
Right.
It was an exercise to help the rookies get a lay of the land in the building.
Oh, find their way around the building.
Because I heard them screaming, where's the sports science guy? Where's the sports? Like they're running through. So now they know where to go when they have to see the sports science guy. So it was kind of a fun way to get them acclimated to what?
You were eligible for the scavenger hunt, right? Wasn't there a corporate scavenger hunt?
That's something different. This was just in the building.
This is a separate
event? This was just in the building. The coaches put the rookies through the paces. It was funny because they were in like groups of twos and threes and they're running through the halls. I mean, if you didn't watch it, you were going to get run over. I mean, they were competitive. But it's smart. The reason I'm saying it's smart is because you get guys that are alpha males, pretty much their whole life, and then you put them in that kind of a competitive setting, you're going to get the best.
It goes off the rails.
You're going to get the best efforts.
Yeah.
But as we were saying when we were off air, the undrafted tackle from Northwestern, Steve – Blake Hance,
which was news to me. I didn't know when he'd gotten signed.
They had a rookie dodgeball matchup at the end, and he was pegging people, just taking people out. Like, he took out the last two guys to win.
For the win. Very nice.
It was big. He got mobbed at the end.
Go you, Northwestern. There you go. That's good. What are we getting out of these exercises these days? Are we getting anything out of this, Brownie?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're getting – it's team building. It's camaraderie, you know. I think they purposely, in most cases with these games of sorts, they mix young players and old players on purpose. They mix players from opposite sides of the ball on purpose. They mix position groups on purpose, just like they do in the locker room. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to how that locker room's laid out. It's all mumbo-jumbo on purpose because they're trying to put people with guys they probably normally wouldn't hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So there is connectivity throughout that locker room, no matter which side of the ball you're on. You can't say that about previous coaching regimes and how they laid locker rooms out. And, I mean, we know Coach McDermott and his staff are a thorough bunch, you know, very methodical in everything that they do. And it's down to who's sitting where in the locker room.
Yeah, right.
Well, the one thing that strikes me, and we are now into, off-season three under Sean McDermott, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the pattern that he's developed and the kind of, as you mentioned, the team-building exercises that he incorporates, you know, whether it's a dodgeball or the bike competition the other day, the stationary bike competition. He's got a plan for this offseason about what he wants to do, how he wants his players to interact with each other, how he wants them to think almost. This,
right.
By the way, are the elements of the famous process. It really is.
And it's less of a lift now in year three than it was in year one because you have guys who have been here who can kind of pass along the messaging without any reminders. I mean, even those veteran players that were on this roster 2 years ago probably needed to have the message reinforced to them so they could pass it along. That message has already been indoctrinated in players like Micah High, Jordan Poyer, Lorenzo Alexander. You know, these guys have already gotten the message, and now they insert themselves and pass it along when they see a guy needs to be reminded, hey, we don't do it that way here. We do it this way.
Yeah.
All this is
built or designed to get this team better. And we had this question on our show yesterday about not just getting better, but not regressing. Defense, they were number two in the league last year at yards allowed. And we had this big question about, can they repeat that? You think they can be a top five defense again this year? Because largely they stayed intact personnel-wise, except maybe Ed Oliver.
At the end of last season, I did a story on this very subject.
Yeah,
how likely are they to repeat?
We read it. We cited it yesterday.
We
cited
it. Yeah.
Thanks for watching.
You know, so most of the time, well, I do have other things to do.
You've got a life.
Work.
Right.
Number one.
Exactly.
But the point there was most teams that were in the top five would stay there, barring huge turnover. Year over year, at least for 2 years, sometimes three, and I think Seattle was the gold standard. They were up there for five straight years.
Right. The first team that was mentioned on it was up there for 3 years as well. I can't remember who it was.
Denver had a stretch where they went three years. Pittsburgh had a stretch for 3 or 4 years. Minnesota had a stretch for 3 or 4.
But barring catastrophic loss,
as you said, 10 of the 11 incumbent starters are returning to the defensive unit, along with a host of rotational guys too, defensive line, et cetera. So with that kind of continuity, logic would say, and you can argue that, you know, you didn't lose a whole lot with Kyle Williams leaving the roster, knowing you have a top 10 draft choice replacing him. I think odds are you should be able to repeat if all things are equal. And let's not rule out, too, the defense was number two in the league with a horrible special teams unit and a 29th-ranked offense.
Oh, yeah.
So you're expecting those two units to be better, so that should cater to making the task a little bit easier on defense to stay up there in the top five because they're not being handed short fields. They're not dealing with extra possessions for the opponent because of turnovers and stupid stuff on special teams.
Well, some of that, though, played into them having a statistically good year because teams weren't forced to score a lot of points against them. Teams weren't taking a lot of risks. Their turnovers were way down than they were the year before because teams didn't have to run these risky – they were never under any desperation playing against the Buffalo Bills, so they never really got those turnovers. And this is a defense that, you know, was handed some short fields. They didn't – even if they gave up points, they didn't give up yards. So in some respects, statistically, it was a little bit skewed in the defense's favor because they were poor. But like you said, when you talk about wins and losses, I think certainly playing more well-rounded, complementary football is going to go light years towards helping them win more games.
So I would say, yeah, they got a good chance of staying in the top four.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. If you have comments, questions, give us a call. Chris will talk to you, 803-0550. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Help us settle an argument we had just before you came on here, Chris. The NBA draft lottery was last night. I mentioned how I'd like to see that across the board, all major professional sports, including the NFL. Draft lottery, and ever remove the – you can forever remove the suspicion of any kind of a tank to get a better draft position. Your thoughts? Draft lottery, NFL?
I understand the premise, but I think I was too close to it last night being a Knick fan. So I don't think I'm ready for a lottery. The thing that killed me was the other two teams that had the best chance of getting the top pick along with
Phoenix
the Knicks were
Cleveland.
The Suns and the Cavs, and they were both out before we even got to pick five.
Yeah.
So I thought we were in like Flynn. In.
All right.
And it didn't happen.
But that, and I,
so
and
it's too it, I'm too it's, I'm too close to home on
Murph's
this.
Murph's point is that it would remove teams
right.
when they go
and right.
Here's the thing. We came down to this at the end of our discussion. It removes the thing about tanking. It goes from tanking to rebuilding. Tanking is deliberately losing to get a pick. Rebuilding is what everybody tries to do every year, or rebuild. You know?
Yeah, I'll play devil's advocate here for a second. In my mind, if an organization wants to blow it up and believes that's the best way, whether they get the first pick, the third pick, the fourth pick, I think they're going to do it. If they think that's the best way to revamp everything, you know, they're going to play young guys, lose games, to make sure that they're at least in the top four or the top three or whatever the lottery system will allow. They'll look at the best case scenario in the lottery system and say, is it still worth it to kind of not do well and, you know, play young guys, get them experience? I think if a team believes they can benefit more by being somewhere in the top three, by qualifying for the lottery, there are still teams that are probably going to take that route.
Is it?
I don't think you're going to be able to completely eradicate tanking.
Is the problem really, particularly even in the NFL, we've seen it through the 17-year drought that happened so long ago, not so long ago, but is it too easy in the NFL to be medium? You know what I mean?
The Bills did a good job of it for
right,
about 12
that,
years.
Right? Everybody, I mean, Miami.
I mean, you can middle it real easy
right,
in this league.
6-10 to 9-7, right? Is it too easy?
It's a cake. I mean, you can, most teams should
listen,
be. I would say the vast, I would say 85% of the league can go somewhere between 6-10 and 8-8.
Right? Think about that.
You know?
Is it too easy?
What do you mean easy? Like you can just show up and win six games? I don't know if I can.
Listen, what kind of a dumpster fire are you to go 4-12? That was the Raiders last year.
Right.
They traded away the best defensive player in the league, traded away
their
best offensive player and they go 4. That was a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And they won four games.
Yeah.
Not zero games, not one game. How hard was it for the Lions to go 0-16?
Hard.
And the
that's probably
go
harder than to go
hard,
6
right?
and 10, yeah.
Because you got, I mean.
That's
even
a special kind of suck. I mean, it really is. It is.
The Dolphins going 1-15, and the game they win's in overtime.
Cowboys went 1-15 in Aikman's rookie year.
Yeah.
You got to work to suck that bad, right?
You got to make a lot of bad choices.
And yet, you can suck that bad. And with the lottery, you would never be suspected for deliberately trying to suck that bad, I don't think.
Right.
But because your chances would be enhanced by a couple of percent.
Do you think you can completely?
Your chances would be enhanced by only a couple of percentage
But here's
points.
The thing, though, Murph. Do you really care how you're perceived?
Oh, you should.
Whether it's two or not?
You should, as an organization? Yeah, I think you should care, yeah.
I just don't know how to create a system where you can completely eradicate
it. I agree completely. But I think you would remove a lot of suspicion if
yes,
you have
could.
A lottery.
You know why?
So that's better.
Make the draft
that's a better,
lottery.
It puts on a better face for the league is your point. You're kind of thinking out of it from a league perspective.
Here's the difference,
puts
Murph.
A better face on the league.
Yeah. Here's how you do it. ping pong balls, 32 ping pong balls. Oh, that's the draft every year, and it pops up. And that you don't even know. You're going to get one of the top 32 guys.
And the Patriots get number one overall, and you're okay with that?
Oh,
I'm not.
Jeez, a yike.
Yeah, why not? They keep them from, it'd keep them from tanking.
You're attempting to establish parity here.
It'd keep the Cleveland Browns from tanking.
It would. I'm not saying it's the only strategy. I'm saying it would make it better.
That would never fly, Steve, only because the league strives for parity on purpose.
It's a
and so that kind of flies in the face of that.
Yeah. Good teams are penalized. I get it.
Chris Brown is with us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Going to switch gears on you, Chris. This is why we like having you in here. What does Lee Smith bring to the Buffalo Bills? Why would they sign him to a three-year contract, I believe it's been reported?
Yeah,
right?
I think the commitment surprised me a little bit. And for decent money, and good on Lee for pulling that off.
It didn't surprise me that much.
Here's the thing. There is people say, well, you know, when he was here, he'd get – I've looked at some of the criticism. That
penalties.
That people were knocking for him for penalties and everything. What you have to know is this league is all about what have you done for me lately.
Yeah.
And who saw Lee Smith every day in practice – every day in games for the better part of the last 3 years?
Bobby Johnson.
Offensive line coach Bobby Johnson. And you have to believe that he was consulted heavily on this addition.
Yep.
With what they need to do in the run game, Bobby Johnson was probably asked, if you could have a tight end to add as an extra blocker on your offensive line, who do you want?
He knew Lee
Smith. And I'll guarantee Lee Smith was the first name out of his mouth.
Yep.
And that carries weight because you're not talking about running out and catching passes. You're talking about lining up and crunching the guy in front of you. And Lee has some nasty to his game. I mean, I know you guys had him on set. Big country, nice guy, you know, get you some moonshine, you know, behind closed doors.
You're not supposed to say that.
But this is a guy who, when he steps on the field, is a whole different breed.
Yeah, he's an NFL.
And he's
going to
come off that ball and crack you. And you look at the attitude that they want to bring to this offensive line to win more of those weekly battles at the line of scrimmage, you're going to need some attitude. And that's why Feliciano is here. That's why Quentin Spain is here. That's why Lee Smith is here. Those are attitude guys that are going to change the complexion of this offensive line from a nastiness, edge, whatever you want to call it, standpoint.
Here's why it didn't surprise me that they gave him the extra money. They've got him guaranteed money into his second year of this three-year deal. And that comes down to the kind of guy he is in the locker room. He's been here before. There's probably people still in this building who understand, who know him from the first runaround that he was here. There's only one guy on the team, and that's Jerry Hughes. But his reputation for being the exact kind of guy they need with his skill set, also the culture fit in the room, is the reason they know that he's not going to go. He's been that way for now since 2010, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like almost a decade. Yeah. He's not going to change. That's why they're fine with him. They know him behind the scenes. He's exactly the kind of guy they want in the room. That's why they gave him a second. Because this is a regime that's all about one-year deals, prove
it. Right, and you heard it on the show yesterday when he told you guys, you know, he's ready to pay it forward, kind of school up some of the younger players. So, I mean, I think he knows, as a 31-year-old tight end in this league who's been around for the better part of 10 years, it's time to invest in the guys that are also going to be on this roster and make them better too. And that's that I need a leader in every room thing that Coach McDermott talks about. He's going to be that in that room.
Yeah. Chris Brown is with us. All right, let me get you in on today's Twitter poll, Chris. You're kind of like – he's kind of like the third in deciding vote, isn't he? For us, he like sort.
As long as he agrees with me.
Today's Twitter poll,
and that's our new Twitter poll. How often does Chris Brown agree with Steve Tasker?
Today's Twitter poll, Brandon.
Not
Bean.
Not often enough.
Brandon Bean, and we'll talk about the Jets in a moment here with Chris. But Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, what has been his biggest accomplishment this offseason? What do you think? The Twitter poll, most respondents, 76% say overhauling the offensive line, 15% say drafting Oliver and Ford first and second round, 5% say adding talent to the wide receiver group, 4% say something else. The biggest accomplishment this offseason for Brandon Bean, what do you think it is, Chris?
Yeah, I think you have to side with the majority here. Yeah. It was the most glaring problem for this team last year. The receiving core was a close second in terms of problems that had to be addressed. And He did it with volume. And I think volume is a good thing in that particular case because you knew you had three free agents who were walking out the door, all of whom started the second half of the season. Ryan Groy, John Miller, Jordan Mills. They were not coming back. So whatever you wanted to add, you also had to account for three departures that you were probably planning on because they probably didn't have an interest in bringing them back into the fold. So you had to attack this from a numbers standpoint, a volume standpoint, and obviously to a certain degree a quality standpoint. They made a giant investment in Mitch Morse, but then they kind of went, you know, value with the rest. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, I think the return on investment with Ty and Secchi could be very good. I think the return on investment for John Feliciano could even be good. This is a guy who only Bobby Johnson really knows what he's capable of. There's very little game film out there on Feliciano because he was playing behind Pro Bowlers out there, Gabe Jackson and Osemele. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, he's playing behind Pro Bowl guys. You know, does that mean he can't play? Well, no. It just means he's not quite as good as those Pro Bowlers. But
yeah, it's hard to get on the field.
If you're a half step removed from a Pro Bowl guard, you'll be able to start here. You may have a chance to start here. I think guys like that, the attitude we talked about, and then guys that are hungry for a starting opportunity. Somebody like a Ty Insecki who got to the league the hard way and is ready to really battle for a starting role after putting some good film out there last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's the line. And, yes, it all has to be blended together now, which is probably job number one here as they begin OTAs next week. And it may not come together right away, knowing how long before you can put pads on. And it may take till week four, week five before it's really humming. But that's easily Bean's best job.
We've made this point a couple of times over the course of the show that they've done a lot of really great things that it seems even the people that call in or tweet at us. I mean, there's the occasional person that has some problems with what they've done, but for the most part, even around the league, people are going, "Wow, Buffalo's really got a plan. You can see it. It makes logical sense. They've made some great signings. They got to win."
Right.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of teams over the years. Washington's probably the most glaring example. They would spend far more freely in free agency. That's their history. And a lot of those blends for them didn't work.
Not at all.
You know, whether you want to, you can run down the list. Albert Haynesworth at over $100 million.
Haynesworth, you know. Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders. You can go down. They had that team way back in the late 90s. They stacked it. I mean, they spent all kinds of money to get those guys in trying to buy a Super Bowl, and it wasn't even close.
Right. So what's the second layer of the people you add? The second layer is making sure, what do we hear Bean and McDermott say all the time? They fit our DNA.
Right.
That they match up with the way we operate around here on a daily basis. I mean, we've said it time and again. They want players. They don't have to wonder what they're going to get from that guy when his body's hurting for a practice on Thursday in week 16. They want to know they're going to get the same effort there, even though they might be dragging their body out there, that they got in week two. And they feel, on the whole, they've acquired those kinds of players.
Chris, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you about another general manager in the NFL, a general manager who drafts Sam Darnold, Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, signs Le'Veon Bell, and Jamison Crowder is a free agent this year, drafts Quinnen Williams. I mentioned him this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McKagan made a lot of moves, right? Le'Veon Bell, he made a lot of moves. C.J. Mosley. We were talking about best offseason on this show. You were here last week, right?
And yeah, we were talking to Rich Cimini about this. We asked him, like, is McKagan going to get bounced?
Because
that's what we heard during the draft.
Right. Why did he get bounced?
I just think there's a headbutting going on between him and Gase. There was a power struggle. And I grew up watching this franchise fail time and again. It would not surprise me in the least if the Jets hierarchy, the ownership, looked at it and said, well, we just hired the coach. We can't fire that guy. He hasn't coached a game yet. McKagan's been here for 3 years. These guys can't agree. The coach wants personnel control. Let's just fire McKagan. I could see it going that way. Because I'm telling you right now, the Jets live up to your last name and the law attached to it, maybe more than any other NFL franchise. The only thing you have to tweak is you say, if there is a way to screw this up, the Jets will find it. They will find a way to screw something up. And, you know, they've built a pretty good defense here in the offseason.
Yeah.
They have a, you know, they have an all-world running back who I don't think is going to have quite the same production that he had in Pittsburgh because his line isn't as good in New York. But
and now he's rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what was Maccagnan on? This was his second coach, right? Because he only hired Bowles.
Yeah.
So he's only on his second head coach. I'm a little surprised that they didn't at least see how the Gase experiment would go, but it's very clear to me there are some personnel differences here that clearly Gase and Maccagnan could not iron out. We had heard all these reports. Bell, who didn't want Bell, who wanted to pay Mosley $85 million, who didn't want to pay Mosley $85 million. You know,
now here's the thing.
Spooky eyes probably didn't want Mosley.
He didn't want Bell either. It's interesting because think about this. Now this is all coming out. Now they've got to justify what the issues were, and they've said, well, Adam Gase didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell. Now he's got to coach him. Now he's got to get coach this guy's make this guaranteed $35 million over the next 4 years.
The guy's not showing up for voluntary practice already?
And now he finds out the guy who's coaching him didn't want him? And C.J. Mosley is going to walk in there making $85 million with a head coach that didn't want to pay him?
I wonder if you try to figure this out. Look, the Jets have had a losing season 3 straight years, which puts pressure on Maccagnan, right? Fix this, turn this around.
Right.
No such pressure exists on the head coach who just got there. So these moves you talk about, Le'Veon Bell, some of the other free agent signings, those are made by a guy who says, I got to win now. The coach is like, I don't have to win now, right?
These aren't the
competing interests. But here's what I don't get.
I told you I didn't want these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How does Adam Gase get that kind of juice? That's what stuns me.
Well, here's the other thing. How did Adam Gase get this job in the first place?
Exactly.
Who did he win over? He won over ownership after they got a personal phone call and an endorsement
from Peyton Manning.
I'm telling you, I've seen this happen dozens of times.
One call from Peyton Manning gets Adam Gase the
job. This is a franchise that drafted a fullback in the first round. Roger Vick. Do we remember that?
I do remember that.
Fullback.
I just don't know how Gase.
Fullback.
How does Gase get that kind of authority after, you know, he wasn't tearing it up at Miami? He really wasn't.
I shudder to think how he got that kind of clout. I don't even know how you look at the guy and take him seriously. Like, I'm waiting for him to, like, cast a spell on me or something with his voodoo eyes and stuff. He scares the
bejesus out
of me.
Steve's met him, dealt with him. Steve likes the fact that he wears jeans and wears his cap backwards. He says that's where he gets his...
Well, you could work for the Jets. Look at that. The credentials you put stock
right?
in people. I mean,
see, look
we'll get you in the front office there.
I would be gold with the Jets.
You'd be Jets with a capital J.
I would be on their ring of honor.
We love to laugh at the Jets here.
Well, listen.
This is the thing. This is all good for the Bills.
I know.
You got the Dolphins in full-blown rebuild mode.
I know.
You got the Jets, who right now are a tire fire on the turnpike. And, you know, you still got New England to deal with, but it's all good for the Bills.
I know, but the Jets
stability.
Came up here and won December 9th last year. That still haunts me. How do you lose to that bad Jets team,
stability.
Which was in tire fire mode last December? They were.
Yeah. Stability.
They just won up here last year.
The Bills have stability. I'm not saying that the Jets can't beat the Bills. What I'm saying is these kinds of things, these kinds of disruptions do not help. They do not help your cause.
I agree with that.
And it can translate to the field sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time. But you know how the New York media works. I mean,
the
Sharks
are
already smelling blood.
Yeah.
OTAs are going to be interesting there for all the wrong reasons.
Le'Veon Bell's going to have a lot of questions to answer because they want to say, hey, how
so
do you
is
feel
Gase.
About so is Gase. And also,
and he's not
and
that good in front of the media.
It's always been my observation as a player who opposed the Jets and played him twice a year for over a decade. Jets fans, I got to be honest, Jets fans to me have always been their happiest when they have good reason to boo their own team.
come on.
That's their wheelhouse. Because that. They are wheel. That's their wheelhouse.
That's just because they're accustomed to it.
That may be.
They can just, you know, rewind and hit play again.
And also, and and when you talk about the Jets like that, I mean, listen, there's a lot going on over there. And there's a lot – this is the thing, too. They're still the same team they were yesterday. I mean, this roster is pretty much set. They're like the Bills. They've got like 85, 90 guys. They're going to churn the bottom. Their core guys are there. So if they're going to play good, they can still play good. They can still got a team that they are on track to play right. Well. If Maccagni hadn't gotten fired today, they're still that team. Their media guys who were reporting on them, I told them this – they had the Jets well above this franchise, the Bills franchise. Those guys in New York thought the Jets were way ahead of the Bills.
One media guy has an interesting take on what went down today. Our buddy Kevin Clark, used to cover the NFL for Wall Street Journal, posted on Twitter this: when you drink a ton of coffee, it doesn't help, and you get fired. A picture of Maccagnan at his desk with the Jets with about, 25 cups of Dunkin' Donuts coffee on the desk.
Yeah.
That's probably.
I hope that's their sponsor.
Steve, there's a lesson there for you, Mr. Caffeine, Steve. You've had that much coffee today?
No, not today.
Hey, Brownie.
But sometimes
I start drinking water though on set.
Everything in moderation, Steve.
Brownie, thanks for this. You'll be careful with your shirt choices, I'm sure, in the future.
Right.
Great shirt.
That's for sure.
Thanks for being with us, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, Buffalo. What's on the website? What do you got coming up?
Well, we had the feature on Jaquan, you know, and his relationship with Ed. I know that both of those guys were on your show to talk about that, but Jaquan gave me a little bit more on that, so that's up on the website now. Should have a feature on David Sills, the undrafted receiver from West Virginia, coming up later in the week.
By the way, we're going to talk to his coach, college coach Lane Kiffin, on the show tomorrow.
That is.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about. I'm talking about
David Sills. You're talking about Devin Singletary.
That's right. Lane Kiffin was the guy who gave David Sills
the scholarship at age 13. Wasn't there to honor it. You know, 8 years later.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
or 5 years later.
So that's coming up. Chris, thanks. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Thanks again to Chris Brown, who wore the wrong shirt today. Got him right on the show. That's a lesson for anybody. If you at home have one of those One Bills Live shirts, and if you walk on by, chances are we'll get you on the show. I don't know who has those shirts. Did you get any? I mean,
I got a closet full of them.
Did you give any to your kids? Because I don't think I gave any to my two sons.
I'm not giving I'm going to give them to anybody who won't wear them. Right?
Thanks for tuning in today. We had an interesting Twitter poll that continues up to the top of the hour. We'll recap that in a moment. A lot of good discussion about the Jets. We meant to do this yesterday, and it got by us. Yesterday was Frank Gore's 36th birthday. Cool, right? 36 years old.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and Field Yates from ESPN posted this on Twitter yesterday. Frank Gore turns 36. After tearing his ACL twice in college, some wondered if he'd hold up in the NFL. Now, Frank Gore has an NFL record 14 straight seasons with 600 or more rushing yards. 14 straight seasons with 600 or more rushing yards. An NFL record 14 straight seasons with 125 or more carries. Frank Gore has started 195 of his last 196 games. Frank Gore has 112 consecutive games played, longest active streak among NFL running backs. Field Yates made that point, and we meant to do it yesterday because he turned 36 yesterday. Yeah. That's an amazing career. That has all the makings of a Hall of Fame career right there, Steve. I think
he deserves to be pointed out. The guy's a incredible player. 14,748 rushing yards in the National Football League. 14,748 with a career average of 4.4 per carry. He's got 77 rushing touchdowns, 18 receiving touchdowns. He has put together an unbelievable career. Started in 2005 all the way now to the current time, 14 seasons. And he's a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. We got to get him on the show. I don't know if it's going to happen because we're kind of – it's been hinted that he's not a big media guy, that maybe he won't do this show or do a whole lot with the media. But all I can think about was all of that production we just talked about and the shot of him coming back here right when he was signed, walking down the hallway up in the executive offices with a helmet on, right? Street clothes and a helmet. Clearly this guy has something to offer this team. We'll see what it is. We'll see what his role will be. You know, people kind of stay awake. Some people stay awake at night and say, how's he going to fit in with McCoy? How are they going to work that out? I don't know. I don't know. But when you look at that record of production, including last year, and it's 14 straight seasons now with all those carries and all that yardage, and you look at his kind of approach to the game, walking around the hallways with a helmet, you got to think this guy has something, maybe something major to offer this roster this year.
Yep. Adam Gase had interactions with him before he became head coach of the Dolphins. And last year, Gase said, that's a guy we've got to have on our team. He brought him in, and he had 156 rushing attempts last year for the Dolphins.
How many? What?
156 attempts last year for the Dolphins, 722 yards, 4.6 average last year for the Dolphins. He was a guy, Adam Gase, and, you know, now the head coach, interim GM of the Jets, said, we got to have this guy in our building. And I would say this, Murph, and this is what we used to say, you know, when we were playing. When you talk about your team, and in this case we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, are you better with him or without him? And I got to say, 100% my opinion is we're better with him on our team than we are without him.
Yeah,
he's a plus, a big plus. He's an incredibly hard worker. All the guys we talked to last year, you know, because last year was kind of, you think, wow, how long is he going to hang in here at Miami? How are they going to use him enough and stuff? And then he started carrying the ball all the time. And we started talking to people, and all the players we spoke to were like, man, I can't – the guy's unbelievable.
Leaned on.
He works so hard. He never leaves the building. He's always at practice for – you know, he's at that. They go on and on about how committed he is to being the best and to continue to be the best. So
we got to get this
for all those reasons, for all those reasons, yeah, he's
– I got to figure out what
you're better with him
guy.
Than without him. That's all there is to it.
I got to figure out what makes this guy tick because that's an amazing record of production at age 36 now. We got to get him on the show, Steve. Can you handle that?
Well, I will. All right, I'll try.
He'll see your
name.
Spent
10 years in San Francisco, 3 years in Indianapolis, and last year was the first time since 2005, since his rookie season, that he carried the ball less than 200 times. He is a workhorse.
Yeah,
he is a workhorse.
I'm assigning you to that. Okay.
All right.
We're coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. What do we learn from today's show, you ask? Here it is. What do we learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security, home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Frank Reich on the show. Perhaps you heard of him, former Bills quarterback, the second-year head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, coming back to Buffalo this weekend for his Call to Courage Awards breakfast on Saturday morning. Frank Reich talked about his Colts team entering the upcoming 2019 season with much higher expectations than they had a year ago. Here's what he said.
You know, this year we got to do the same thing. We got to keep the same mindset. And the mindset that worked for us last year, and that is really our mantra, is just, you know, believe in the people and believe in the process. You know, get a little bit better every day. We don't focus on results. We focus on getting better every day. We know the results will come. And so we can't allow all the talk of the media about, hey, this Colts team, you know, they finished the year strong. They're gonna be in it at the end. We just got to block all that stuff out. Just focus on the day-to-day process and just keep getting better.
Steve and I look forward to connecting with Frank this weekend at his Call to Courage Awards breakfast. We had Harrison Phillips in studio with us. Bill's second-year defensive tackle became pretty good friends with the late Pancho Villa, Ezra Castro, the Bills superfan who passed away yesterday. Harrison said he is headed for Texas later this week for the funeral services for his buddy Pancho Villa. And he remembered Pancho's speech to the Bills before their win against the Jets last November in New Jersey. Here's what he said about that.
It came at such a crucial point in our season. And, you know, I had told him on the phone the other day, You know, he's done so much, regardless of the outcome of what he was fighting. He's a catalyst for our organization and the future of our organization. Mm-hmm. And we came in and last year as rookies, and we studied the greats who have been here before us, and we saw the banners that are hanging and you know, understood what that was about. Poncho's the start of this whole movement with us, too. You know, Coach has been coming up on year three. Right after that speech, the guys were all writing Poncho Power. We got the wristbands. Some of us got these nice, snazzy T-shirts, you know. But, a lot of the guys bought in and really learned more about the whole story.
Harrison Phillips on Poncho Villa, an important figure to many here at One Bills Drive, including many players, including the general manager, Brandon Bean. We talked about Brandon a lot today. He was the topic of our Twitter poll, which dealt with his last year. And we asked you on Twitter and on the phones, what do you think Brandon Bean's biggest accomplishment was over the last year as general manager of the Buffalo Bills? The responses, very one-sided. It surprised me a little bit. 75% of you said overhauling the offensive line was Brandon Bean's greatest accomplishment this offseason. 16% say the draft, and especially the top two, Ed Oliver and Cody Ford. 5% had something else in mind. 4% said adding talent to the wide receiver group. Yeah, I would agree, offensive line, but I didn't think 75. I thought people would be a little bit more widespread on this answer, Steve.
Yeah, and perhaps we should have said both drafts that he's had here.
Or a couple of years.
Entire draft and not just those top two guys. I don't know, but all of it's important. We know that. And then a day when the Bills, given, you know, they seem the most stable franchise of you know, the two the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins. For the first time in a long time, the Bills seem, wow, they seem rock solid.
Yeah.
In comparison.
Yeah.
Right?
Jets fired their general manager today, Mike McCagden. They named their head coach, Adam Gase, who just arrived there a couple of months ago, named him the interim GM. Very interesting. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're going to talk with Andy Dalton on the show here tomorrow. We're going to talk with Lane Kiffin tomorrow on the show as well. Production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Honiter, Kelly Rood, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. Good show tomorrow again, 12 noon, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.